It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And our show today, from curiosity to discovery. Like most kids, when James was a kid, he was curious. He'd go looking for tadpoles or salamanders or butterflies.
Anything that moved or flew or crawled or swam, and I could catch it, it wound up in my collection. And that included microbiological specimens as well. I got a microscope for Christmas one year, and I was out collecting pond water and, you know, creating slides and so on. You know, I was a complete science nerd. So actually, even as I'm saying it, I'm cringing.
Why are you cringing?
I'm not, because it just sounds like get a life, kid.
But when at a certain point, that kind of curiosity starts to disappear.
I'm sure there's data on this and studies on this, but obviously there's a very high degree of neuroplasticity in young minds, young brains that seems to decay on a curve. We all have dreams of flying, I think, when we're kids, and we tend to lose that as well. It's almost like the more we know about the world, the limits of what's possible start to crowd in on us.
And for some reason, that never really happened to James. And when he grew up, that sense of curiosity, it became a defining part of his professional work as a filmmaker.
Iceberg, right ahead!
His film, Titanic, became the second highest-grossing movie ever. And the highest-grossing film, he made that one, too.
You are not in Kansas anymore.
Avatar.
You are on Pandora, ladies and gentlemen. Respect that fact.
And his idea for Avatar actually came before Titanic. But at the time, and this was the early 1990s, James Cameron felt like the technology wasn't quite there yet to make it the way he wanted to make it, as he explained on the TED stage.
So I shelved it, and I made this other movie about a big ship that sinks. And... you know, I went in and pitched it to the studio as Romeo and Juliet on a ship. It's going to be this epic romance, passionate film. Secretly, what I wanted to do was I wanted to dive to the real wreck of Titanic, and that's why I made the movie. And that's the truth. Now, the studio didn't know that, but I convinced them. I said, we're going to dive to the wreck. We're going to film it for real. We'll be using it in the opening of the film. It'll be really important. It'll be a great marketing hook. And I talked them into funding an expedition.
Yeah, roger that. Okay, drop down and go into the first class gangway door. I want you guys working the D-deck reception area in the dining center.
So if you remember those opening scenes from Titanic, there's real footage of the shipwreck. And James Cameron filmed that footage himself. He went 2.5 miles below the surface of the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay, now left. Now left.
Now, there was already tons of footage of the Titanic, and James Cameron could have used that in the movie, but he really wanted to see it himself.
I think, you know, I've said it jokingly, but I think there's a lot of truth to the idea that I probably made that movie because I believed I could actually dive to the Titanic. And if I could have actually dived to the Titanic without making the movie, I probably would have done that.
And so what started out as a curious impulse became the catalyst for discovery, to go to the deepest parts of the oceans, to film them, and then turn that footage into documentaries.
Every dive I've ever been on, I've seen something I haven't seen before. And on a few of those dives, I've seen things that nobody's seen before. I call it bearing witness, wanting to literally go and see it. Photographing it came later, but it was just, you know, wouldn't that be cool?
Today on the show, from curiosity to discovery, stories from dreamers, tinkerers, scientists, and yes, filmmakers, about the source of curiosity and how it drives the things they do. Later in the show, James Cameron returns with his journey from filmmaker to explorer and back. But first...